But this morning we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, and we're looking at the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4. While you're going there, just one of the things that we're going to discover, because it's going to feel like a thematic pivot. We've been talking a lot about practicing righteousness as true believers with integrity. We've been talking about loving one another as a true expression of the work of God in our life. The seed of God has been given to us, and we abide with him, and there should be integrity to our faith and our actions and our love of one another. And then it's like he comes sideways to this, but it's not so sideways. It's pretty consistent with his pattern at the beginning of chapter 4 to talk about false teachers. Now, the Bible teaches us that we can know the truth. You and I can know the truth. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the truth, the Word of God. Jesus says to God the Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And then he sends us the helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us to understand and respond rightly to the word of God. You and I can know the truth. There is truth, and you can know it. Secondly, the Bible teaches us that we can live the truth. The Holy Spirit will help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Doers of the word and not just hearers only. That's the help of the Holy Spirit who helps us to grow in obedience. We can, thirdly, share the truth. Not only can we know it and live it, but we can learn to share it. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to bear witness to Jesus Christ wherever we are and wherever we go, and we are to make disciples and to teach them everything, to obey everything that Jesus commands. And the Holy Spirit helps us to share the truth. It's not just something we lock inside or we create an extra special layer of membership that you pay an extra price for to get released this super special information. It's not like that. We can freely share the truth. The one I want to focus on is this fourth aspect that the Bible teaches us and that this passage teaches us, and it's that we can keep the truth. We can guard the truth, is to put it another way. Not only can we know it, live it, and share it, but God enables us to keep it. And we need that enablement because there are continually going to be people that are going to try to pull the truth out from under your feet. Or try to shroud your eyes from what God has said. I want you to know, beloved, that if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know the truth. You don't need advanced degrees. You don't need to be an academician per se, and that's not any criticism of those who are in the academy. It's simply you, if you trust Christ, have the Holy Spirit to help you know the truth. And you can live that truth. You don't have to be physically fit. You don't have to be the most energetic person. You could be like me, where when you hit 8 o'clock p.m., you are done for the day, right? It can't go another step, right? You can live out the truth. God will empower you to obey him. You can share it. You don't have to be the most well-spoken individual. You don't have to have all your words just right or know how to present yourself well. You bring the truth in the power of the Spirit and watch God work. But you must also learn to keep it and guard it, because false teachers are going to come. And this is the lesson we're going to learn about today. The one who is in us has helped us to overcome falsehood. And we are capable of guarding ourselves according to the truth and against falsehood. We need to learn this lesson. It's critical because we're regularly confronted by falsehoods. Regularly. We expect falsehood from opponents of Jesus, people who would outright say, I want nothing to do with Jesus or God or any gods whatsoever, or I have a different God that I want you to worship. We expect falsehood to come from those directions, and so we tend to guard ourselves that way, kind of like stranger danger. We tend to guard ourselves against strangers, but where we get in trouble, where we're vulnerable, is we don't always expect opponents to come from within, and that happens too. In fact, the Bible tells us that will happen. And does happen. And we don't always expect it to come from people who say they know Jesus, say they believe Jesus, say they love Jesus, but they've put a cloak on the truth, a cover over it. It's more common than we realize. I mean, I was just thinking about the last 10 days. It's May 10th. And in the last 10 days, I've had three different ministries request that our church get involved. Three different ministries. And they all want our involvement. And only one has a statement of faith. So what do you do then? If only one has said, this is what we believe, and the other two are like, oh no, we're good. It's Jesus. Come on. We're together. What do you do? Do you just say yes? Do you say no? Do we have a vote? How do you handle that? I've been asked to doctrinally screen two missionary families, as I've just mentioned, to make sure that they believe the truth that we believe. There's no sense in going forward in this relationship if that's going to be different, right? I've gathered with a fellowship of area pastors, and I've not gathered with a fellowship of area pastors. Why did I choose one and not the other? Was it a right choice to gather with that group of pastors? On what basis would it have been a right choice? I've been asked to minister in a couple of funerals, one in which a relative wants to preach. What do I do? What's the right decision, and how do I know it's the right decision? I've been asked to review curriculum. Is it good curriculum? Is it sound? None of these are problems. I'm not bringing them up as problems. I'm saying these are realities that have been brought to me, and I haven't even gone online yet. I haven't heard a single YouTube short. I haven't seen a single TikTok. I haven't heard anything on the radio yet. I haven't had any claims brought to my attention from the radio. And you know, and I know that all of that is pervasive, right? And you think, how about you? How many truth claims were brought to your attention this week for your decision? What things have you brought to your children's ears and eyes and into their homes? What have you selected by way of what will be true, what will be taught, what will be reinforced? These are decisions we make every day, and unfortunately, there are false prophets everywhere, and we are not going to be free of them on this side of eternity. There is a day of judgment for them. 2 Peter says it's reserved. Their condemnation is not asleep, the scripture says. So we need to understand that. 1 John 4 is one of these places that teaches us how to keep the truth. And I want us to learn how to put this truth to the test in a way that honors the Word of God, which honors God. And so let's hear these verses, and then we will prayerfully unwrap them. The Word of God says this in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's ask God prayerfully to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It truly is a light to our feet. It shows us what is true and real. And we thank you that you give us the Spirit to understand it. And we're going to need your Spirit to guide us in understanding, whether we've heard this for the very first time, whether we've heard it many times, we need to know the truth. And I pray that we might respond to the truth the way you intend, that we might live in light of the truth, that we might share this truth. And Father, would you help us to keep it, to guard it, to recognize falsehood? We have been given a way to know what is true and what is false, and I pray that we would be guarded by you so that this church may have a faithful testimony for as long as you have this church here. We ask for your help and thank you that we can have it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're reminded right away that we have something to do about claims to truth. When somebody comes along and says, God told me, and they say something, or I speak for God and I say, when they come with a truth claim, what are we supposed to do? And we're reminded that this is going to be a pretty common occurrence, that we're going to have to build a skill set that we're going to need to use quite a bit because there are many false prophets. For many false prophets, verse 1, have gone out into the world. We've got to expect this. We need to expect that there will be false prophets in our day. I was teaching in 2 Peter chapter 1 last week in the Explore Adult Bible Fellowship, which is on the same matter. And, you know, I used to be a custodian, and you go and you clean the hallway, and you clean the desk, and you clean everything, the cafeteria, and you're like, it's clean. And within 30 minutes, it looks like you were never there. I just cleaned this up, and I got to start all over again. So you start all over again, you get it all clean, and then it's sixth period that comes in. And then they wreck it. And then you do it again, right? You feel like, didn't I just clean this up? There's never going to be a time on this side of eternity where the church is going to say, we've cleaned it all up. It's false teachers are going to be in and around and among us, is what the scriptures teach. God knows what he's saying. They're there and they are opposed to the truth. Paul warned the elders in Ephesus about this in Acts chapter 20. He told them that there will be fierce wolves among you, who will come within you and will try to devour the flock. He warned them. Paul warned Timothy and the elders about false prophets. In 1 Timothy 4, he says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." The Holy Spirit's like, attention everyone, this is going to happen to you. So we have to expect it. Peter warned believers in 2 Peter chapter 2. Jude warned believers in his epistle. The problem of false prophets and false teachers goes all the way to the past. It's a current problem today. And children, it's going to be your problem in the future. So young men and young women, you need to learn the skill sets now and the truth that God gives you to know the truth, to live that truth, to share that truth, and to keep that truth. Because with God's help, we're going to give you that truth. And then it's yours to give on for as long as God would have you do it. Not only can we expect it, we must expose it. That's one of our ministries, is to expose falsehood. Jesus tells us that we can know false teachers by inspecting the fruit of their lives. Matthew chapter 7. You'll know them by their fruits. Look at the way they live. And if you do look into the matter of false teachers, you will often find that they like to keep a distance from you. They don't really want you looking into your life. They've surrounded themselves by a board of people with the same last name. They've put non-disclosure agreements on the next layer around of all their employees. That there's all these attempts to keep you at a distance from really looking into their lives. And Jesus knows that that's how you know the truth. If they don't expose their lives to you, you got a problem. You need to look at their fruit, inspect it, to see if they're real about Jesus. And John is going to agree with that. In fact, he has agreed with that thus far. We've seen some of that in chapter 3. But John's going to add this other layer that says we also have to inspect their claims. Look at their lives and look at what they claim. Are they practicing righteousness or practicing sinfulness? Are their claims examinable and in line with what God has said? So the way that we expose false prophets, one of the ways, is to examine them. And that's what this text particularly is going to teach us, how to examine somebody who claims to speak or write or sing for God. And how do you know who to believe? How do you know who to trust? So we are called to examine claims to truth. When somebody comes along, and it's happened to me, and it's probably happened to you, and if not, it will. And even now, I'm coming and saying, I'm opening up the Word of God to you. So you're experiencing somebody saying, God is saying something. You need to listen to him. How do you examine me? You should. And how do you? Right? And the text tells us this. It gives us two commands. Now, just understand, both must be obeyed. We get in trouble when we obey one or the other. Both must be obeyed. It says this, first of all, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Just because somebody comes to you and says, I am telling you something that God told me, or God wants me to tell you this, or I feel led of the Lord to tell you, ... God is commanding you not to believe it initially. Initially. Just because somebody claims to speak for God doesn't mean that they do. And it's actually a very manipulative attempt on well-meaning Christians, because they don't want to be seen as going against God. Nobody wants to be seen going against God. I was at a conference one time, and in one of the sessions, before the session started, the speaker was like, now, there's two types of people in this room. Those who will listen to God, which equated with whatever he was about to say, and those who won't. And when we're done here today, you're either going to be one or the other. And I was like, I don't believe you yet. I don't know what's about to come out of your mouth and whether it came from God or not. So I am not signing up for this without inspecting this. Beloved, we must inspect claims of truth. Okay, don't believe every spirit on that first hearing. You've got to hold it up for a minute. Don't tear down your defenses just because they use Bible words or Bible titles or even Bible verses. Don't tear down your defenses. You have a command not to immediately believe them. And that's because false prophets are under the influence of evil spirits, doctrines of demons. They are antichrist, as we see in this text. They are demonic, James chapter 3 says. But notice that the second command in tandem with do not believe is test the spirits. Do not believe them, but test them. If you take out the test, if you say, I'm not supposed to believe you, and I know what you're thinking, the cynic in the room is going, well, then I'm not supposed to believe you. And I would say, you're half right. Now put the other half into it, which is test what I'm saying. See if it's true. You have a duty to do that. Cynics love to question and never take an answer. And that's a danger too. The goal of not believing and testing is so that when you examine, the truth will expose itself and you clamp onto that truth, right? If you're in a plane and somebody says, I'm giving this to you, this is a parachute, jump. Are you going to just go, well, I believe you, and put it on and jump? Or are you going to check to make sure that there's a parachute in it? God is serious about life in eternity, and he's told us truth. He wants us to believe the truth, but he knows that there's false teachers. So our first step is to hold on a minute. You have told me something. I don't owe you obedience until I have seen that truth proclaimed from God. And we have a way to do that. We can test it. The truth is worth believing. The truth is worth trusting. So we must test it to see if it's there. So you examine, number one, can I look into your life? You claim to be of God, but I don't know you. I don't know how you live. I don't know if you're the real deal. I want to get to know you. I need some time to do that. That would be a way to look at their fruit. And if they're like, no, don't look behind the curtain, you've got a problem. Is the teacher allowing you to examine his or her life? Is the fruit already plain to see, or does it seem off to you? But in this text, it's going to tell us an examination of the content of the teaching. The word for test is a word for examination or refinement. It's like refining precious metals. You put it in the furnace and you let the false stuff wiggle off. That's terrible physics and chemistry. And then the pure gold remains. The pure silver remains. Paul tells us to have this same kind of mentality when he wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 and said, do not despise prophecies, right? Treat them as important, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. All right? It's essentially what John's going to tell us. The Bereans in Acts chapter 17 were commended. The believers in Berea, the Jewish believers in Berea, were commended for this very thing. Now these Jews, Acts 17, 11 says, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Paul's teaching them, and they're going, we're going to go look in the scriptures to see if this is there. And when they saw that it was there, they eagerly believed. And they were considered noble for examining, which means that teachers and preachers should not be offended or put off if you go, I'm going to go open the scriptures and see if this is there. I'm going to go home today and I'm going to research this and see if that's actually there. That should not be an offense to us. We should be willing to say, I'm not making it up. I want you to see it too. Even better, bring your Bibles when you can to church so that you can see it as we go for your own self. For we do not come to you with tricks or trying to hide anything, but with the open, plain speaking of the Word of God, we want you to see it and see God talking and communicating to you so that you may know Him and walk with Him, because God cares about you and wants you to know Him, and He's not hiding from you. This examination is required. You should look in and see if it's there. But the question is, okay, if I examine it, by what standard do I use to examine it? Just my own instincts, or one argument against another argument, or presentation styles? What do I do to understand the truth? What's the standard of measurement that I use to examine? And this adds to the next layer of this passage, which is we are already committed to an answer. There is the truth. Not your truth and my truth, but the truth. There's already an objective truth, and that's what we look to as the standard by which we test all claims. So somebody says, I speak for God. Well, God's already spoken. So we can go look at his word and see if your word matches his. And if it does, then you're just relaying, you're speaking what God has said. And if it doesn't, I believe God's word over yours. The right answer here, he says, by this, verse 2, and actually he says it again in verse 6, by this you know the Spirit of God. By this you know the Spirit of God. You know that this person is speaking with help from the Holy Spirit and not from an evil spirit. And he's going to give us the right answer first. So we're going to take this in the order that the text gives it. He's going to say, here's the right answer, followed by the wrong answer. So the right answer in verse 2, how do we know if somebody's speaking and it's the Holy Spirit, it's God the Spirit that is working with them to bring them truth? He says this, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. In other words, they're going to get Jesus right. What they say about Jesus will be true to what God has said about Jesus. This word confess means to say the same thing. So you're coaching a baseball team and a player shows up without their equipment, late. They're distracted, they're not with it, and you look into it and you're like, you forgot to bring your stuff. I didn't forget, I just made a mistake. We don't have confession yet, right? We're not saying the same thing about what just took place, right? Or the first base, the runner on first base, the ball's hit. He goes after the second baseman, lifts his cleat to try to take him out at the knee, and the second baseman goes, you're trying to take me out. No, I'm not. I just tripped. You're not saying the same thing. Confession would be like, yeah, I was, right? We're saying the same thing. Is this person saying the same thing about Jesus that Jesus says about Jesus? Is this person saying the same thing about Jesus that the Word of God says about Jesus? And if they're not, then they've got Jesus wrong and a whole lot of other things wrong. They've got to get Jesus right. And this is important. There was a pastor who served here years ago, Jim Bjornstad, who's with the Lord now. Jim Bjornstad, I did not know him as pastor of Shawnee Hills Baptist Church. I knew him as one of my professors. He was an expert in cults. And so I took a lot of classes on religious worldviews and cults from Jim. And one of the things that Jim was adamant about, of course, he was adamant about everything, but you know, one of the things that Jim was adamant about was he says, you've got to learn to press into the language that people use. Because cults will say, I believe Jesus. I believe Jesus is Lord. You and I are, we're Christians together. I believe Jesus, you believe Jesus. As long as we both believe Jesus. And he goes, but what do you believe about Jesus? You think Jesus was born and that he's like the archangel Michael and he's the firstborn of the brethren because he literally was born. There was a time when Jesus was not. Or you believe that Jesus had a spirit father and a spirit mother and that you also can become God like Jesus of your own spiritual world just like he did. I'm speaking of groups that would claim to be Christian, right? We've got to learn to say what, when you say this, about Jesus, is it the same thing that the scriptures say? Just using the words is not enough. Get to the definitions. They might mean different things about Jesus. True teachers must agree with what God says about Jesus, and they must agree with the apostles' teaching. You'll see here that he mentions verse 6, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. These are the apostles speaking, personally commissioned by Jesus himself with the truth. And we are to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, just like the early church. Does the message square with what the apostles teach about Jesus, what the Word of God teaches about Jesus. So here's what I know from the Word of God. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. He is God's anointed one and only one who is sent from God to us to rescue us from our enslavement to sin and sure punishment from God for those sins. He did that by coming to earth and taking on humanity. He became human inasmuch as he is both God and man. And he died for humans. He lived righteously as a human, no sin. He died in the place of humans, his life for mine. He died my death, and he overcame the grave in the flesh. He is alive in the flesh today, and he is going to return as God's anointed one to reign over all flesh. That's Jesus. And if there's a different word about him, you need to not believe it. You need to not believe it. It's not the Spirit of God speaking, but it is a twist. It's a twist. And if you look at the apostles, they get it right. Paul says this in 1 Timothy 3. Great indeed, we confess, interesting word, is the mystery of godliness. Jesus was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Paul gets an A. Paul gets an A. Peter, 1 Peter 3, verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Peter gets an A. John is the one warning us. How does he do? 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. John gets an A. We've got to get Jesus right. The best way to cut through all the noise and to get quick to the bottom line of whether a person is true or false, whether their source is the Holy Spirit or a false spirit, is to see what they say about Jesus. Because without the Holy Spirit, they will not confess Jesus right. They won't. Only the Holy Spirit helps them to confess Jesus right. And so we have to pay attention. Now, you might say, well, I don't know much about Jesus. Now, if you're a new believer, that's okay. That's part of why we want to learn from him and teach him. And over time, you'll learn more about Jesus. But if you're teaching others going, I don't know much about Jesus, you shouldn't be a teacher. You're not ready. It's too dangerous. You're going to harm too many people, including yourself. This is serious stuff. Pay close attention to what someone says about Jesus. Pay close attention to the Bible to see if what they say matches God's word. Because false spirits will not say the same thing about Jesus that God's word says about Jesus. You can't get Jesus wrong and have a right relationship with God. But you can have a right relationship with God if you understand who Jesus is. The wrong answer is next. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Now, this could be, and especially in John's day, there was a teaching going around that Jesus was never really in the flesh, or that somehow he kind of slipped out of his flesh before he died on the cross. And so there was sort of an idea that flesh is always inherently evil compared to spiritual things. And so there was a denial that Jesus would ever take on such a humiliating form as a person. But that's precisely what the scriptures teach. He took on the form of a servant for us, and in humility, he saved us. But a spirit that will not confess Jesus in the flesh is denying his ministry of dying for our sins. Therefore, we can't be saved with such a teaching. And there are other false teachings about Jesus today. There's lots of them, that he's just an ordinary guy, and everybody's making a lot about him, that he was a great teacher and a great example, and I won't deny that he's a great teacher, but that's not all he is. It's not all he is, right? That he approves, this is a lot of things lately, that he approves activities that God clearly hates. And I'm speaking of immorality. There are churches that have wholesale grabbed on to sexual immorality as sort of this litmus test of God's love, that you have to be able to do what you want to do and live out who you are as a way for God to love you. And God is very clear in his word, you are to be holy with your bodies. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, therefore glorify God with your bodies. You're washed from those things. You're cleansed from that immorality. You have been redeemed. Live with a holy sexuality. Or as one church that I saw even this week, I was driving home from an association meeting and I got into Granville, Ohio, and there was a church downtown Granville, and of course they had their immorality flags raised high to let you know what they believe about the use of their bodies, and they had a sign on the front yard, a big banner that said, Earth, our hope. There's no hope there. What does Peter say will be the future of this earth? It will be dissolved by fire. And its desires are passing away, is what 1 John 2 says. That's false teaching. False teaching. Who's our hope? Jesus, the risen Christ. What's our blessed hope? His return for eternal life. Don't set your hope in anything else. Now, we thank the Lord that he gives us an earth on which to know him, but this earth is passing away. And these are not just oopsies. These aren't just, I mean, we all make errors. I make errors. A bunch of you caught my slide error 2 weeks ago, right? It happens. But is the teacher correctable? Is the key question. Because these teachers aren't just people who meant the truth, but oops, said the wrong thing or got the wrong, I said 1 John instead of 2 John kind of mistake. No, they are deceivers. Verse 7 of 2 John chapter 1 says, they are deceivers and the Antichrist. Or here in 1 John 4 says in verse 3, see, I just did it. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. There is an evil spirit behind deceptive teaching. And that's why it's so important to learn the word of God for yourself so that you don't just take it from me, but you can know it yourself. So important. We have an answer. The answer is the scriptures. Every teaching that is given to you ought to come from the scriptures, and you have access to the scriptures to test it, to see if it is so. And if it is so, then we hold fast eagerly. That's what we do. We are compelled to respond to any claim. That's the other aspect. This isn't a neutral game, kind of like watching a commercial for a company that offers a product that I'm never going to buy. You know, and it's like, well, I could take this or leave this. It's not consequential to me, right? No, this matter is life and death for all of us. Someone says, I'm speaking to you about hope and life. I'm speaking for God. We must respond. If they're right, we must respond in a certain way. If they're wrong, we must respond in a certain way. So how do we respond? And the text starts with the truth. How do we respond to the truth? So let's go there first. First, note that we are able to respond to it. Verse 4, little children, you are from God. He's speaking to believers. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to strengthen you and help you overcome false teaching. And to resist it, so that when they say, God told me that you got to do this, and they're not speaking the truth, you can say, no. No, the authority in my life is greater than you. And he will not permit my acceptance of your teaching. You're qualified by God to be able first to inspect a person's teaching before believing it. Don't be manipulated into compliance. Just like I've had to do interviews with FBI, and don't take that, don't like be suspicious of why, okay? You get a lot of references that come your way for people that end up working in top secret clearances, and then they want to meet with you. And the very first thing that I want to see is, I want your badge number. I want to know that you're the real agent because you're asking very specific questions about people. I want to know. And it's not because I'm a jerk or mean or anything like that. I want to know that you're real. If you're real, let's talk. If you're not, I'm going to protect that person's information. It's not wrong to do that, right? You are qualified to not believe immediately any teaching that you're given. And you're qualified to inspect it, right? Just know that. We're commanded to do that. And he reminds us, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to the apostles' teaching. So the way that we respond to things that prove true is we listen to it, the Word of God. It sits over us. This is so helpful because, you know, you're going to have preachers, and I are one, who are going to make mistakes and are going to have foibles. And you might even have somebody who preaches that you just don't really like to listen to. They're abrasive to you. You don't like to think. But if they're speaking the truth, listen to it. Listen to it. They're just an agent. I'm just an agent. I'm just a vessel, an instrument. Listen to the music that's coming. And if that music harmonizes with Scripture, listen to the Scripture. Be a doer of the Word. Feel free to test what I've said against the Scriptures. Feel free to reconsider the Scriptures as you go home, thinking what was shared and what does Scripture teach. But cling to it. Hold fast to that which is true. Because you can. Now, how do we respond to a lie? What if it's the lie or the false spirit? First of all, don't believe them. And don't feel guilty about not believing. Don't let them make you think you're wrong for not believing. If they say that you're rude or you're mean or you're hateful or you're unloving, don't buy into that. Don't let that pressure you. Simply do not listen to what they say. They are not owed an answer from you in that way. Do not go with them in their teaching. Do not support them. John, if you think John is soft, because he always says, beloved, and my little children, read 2 John, and then when you're not convinced, read 3 John. And remember that he wrote Revelation, right? So, like, let's just know who we're dealing with. John doesn't mess around with this. In 2 John chapter 1, there only is one, verses 10 and 11, he says this, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. You have a responsibility to say, we have to separate ourselves from this. This is not holy and true, and I will not support that. You do not have to go with them or support them. Don't be afraid if they call you things. Don't be afraid of their anger. Stand your ground. And know that in Ephesians 6, we're told we're able to. By the power of God, to stand and resist the evil one and these kinds of things that happen to us. We know that the Holy Spirit will help us and support us. This gives us room and energy, by the way, to support those who are faithful teachers. When we know we have a faithful teacher, we still hold them accountable to God's word every time, but we can thank the Lord and stand behind them and go. We can learn from them. We can grow and become partners in God's work when that shows up. So, beloved, we must guard our hearts against falsehood, and one of the best ways to do that is to continue to grow in what is true. And let us always be a church that gives free access to the truth of God. If you're somebody here, and I said earlier, you need to get a Bible, and you don't know how to do that, or you don't have the resources to get a Bible, we don't sell Bibles here. We will give you a Bible. We're going to give you God's Word. We would be delighted to give you God's word. You just let me know. God has blessed us to be able to bless you with that because the truth is too important to put a price on it. It must be given freely, like the grace gift given to us by Jesus. Great cost to him, great grace to us. Let us be people of the truth. You will not offend me if today you say, well, okay, I'm not going to believe you till I go home and double check. Good. Just follow through. Double check and cling to what is true. That's what we owe the Lord. That's what we owe one another. We're going to need that, not just today, but every day. Every day. So if you're younger, you may say, well, the adults are handling things. No, your day's coming. You're in the day of training and familiarizing yourself with the Word of God so that you can test what is true and believe what is true and expose what is not and filter that out. So let's ask God's help to help us be true to his word. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fact that you speak the truth to us. You have given us the truth, and you don't change your mind every other day so that truth changes every other day. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your consistency and faithfulness. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who has been given to us to guide us in all truth. I pray, Father, that we would not be arrogant so as to think that we are somehow smart enough on our own wise enough on our own or committed enough on our own to not fall prey to false teaching. We need your word always over us. We need your spirit always to guide us. But I pray that you would help us to be discerning, to understand false teaching so as to not go with it, and to be discerning so that we can rejoice in the truth. That's loving. So that we can let the word of God dwell richly among us. Father, would you help us to grow in that, to maintain that? Thank you for those who have started this church with that goal and have kept that goal in place. May it ever be our testimony that we kept your word. Help us, Father, not only as a church, but as households and as individuals to keep your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.